As you're seated, I invite you to find a Bible, please, and open it with me to John chapter 10 as we continue on our slow walk with Jesus through this book. And today as we come to those verses, those four verses that Preston just read to us, John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. And Jesus himself addresses us today, teaches us today, and continues to teach us that he's the shepherd of the sheep. He's your shepherd. And he pushes the image even further, the wonderful good news of this, even further, that he is also the door of the sheep. Jesus is your door. Remember, as we open God's word anytime, as we hear these words, we are being addressed by God. Jesus is addressing us this morning through his word, by his spirit. These words were intended for that original audience, yes, but we can never forget this or be reminded of this too often. Jesus is addressing us through his word. These words are intended for and directed at us. So you'll see this if you have your Bible open in front of you, that as we come to our text today in verse 7, it begins in the same way the chapter began. In verse 1, with these attention-grabbing words of Jesus, these telltale, attention-grabbing words, truly, truly. And then Jesus follows that up and further into verse 7 with even more attention-grabbing words. I am. I've been on a plane a couple times last week or two, and there were times that the captain would come on and he would say, "This is your captain speaking." And everybody listens. And the movie pauses. I don't want the movie to pause, but the movie pauses. Truly, truly, this morning, this is your captain speaking. And he says to you, I am your only true shepherd. I am your only true door. Jesus says that he is the door. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean for someone to be a door? Because it doesn't really make sense when you think about it. If I were to say to you, I am a door, you would think you are also crazy. For Jesus to say he's a door into what? He's the door into God. He's the door into life with God. Life now and forever, abundant life. And he's the only one. The only shepherd and the only door. So let's hear Jesus in these four verses this morning speak grace to us. And also in his grace, we'll hear him speak a warning to us. As we come at this text, four verses, we'll see really how verses 7 and 9 pair up and communicate to us the grace of Jesus. So we'll start there. The grace, which is the invitation of Jesus. I've seen this over and over again. This is his heart for you. This is his heart for you. Why does this appear so often in John, in the Gospels? Because this is his heart. It's the invitation of Jesus to the sheep. We are all sheep. We are all sheep. And so the invitation to the sheep is to come into God, come into life with God through the true door. The true door. So John writes in verse 7 that Jesus again said to them. There's that word again. It's a beautiful word in the Bible, again. It just communicates grace and patience, compassion, mercy, tenderness, love. Verse 6 we just heard, they were confused by what Jesus was saying. None of us are ever confused by what Jesus says, I'm sure. But they were confused in verse 6. And so Jesus again said to them, that word again, it's like saying the sun came up again. So Jesus again said to them in grace and patience. And he says to you and me, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So he's the shepherd and he's also the door of the sheep. This picture he's painting of himself, of his purpose, of his heart, of his function. For all the world, he's the shepherd and the door of the sheep. And he's not one of many. Him and him alone. We've seen over and over again in John that when Jesus reveals himself, he reveals himself to invite us to himself. So he's revealing himself this morning as the shepherd, the door, the one and only. But his revelation is not just for information so that we might say, oh, that's interesting. It's good to know. His revelation is always invitation. He reveals himself to us to invite us to himself. And we see that now in verse 9. Verse 9 reinforces verse 7. Jesus says, I am the door. So there's revelation, and then the next breath is invitation. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Just a picture of perfect peace and security and belonging and love and safety. Go in and out and find pasture. If anyone enters by me, what invitation we find in this revelation. So we see Jesus' exclusivity for you and for me and for the whole world. He is the exclusive point of access into life, and this is his grace. You don't need to look to the left or to the right. You don't need to be on this lifelong quest. You've got all that you need in Jesus. Single point of access, exclusivity here, singularity of Jesus. There is no life, no salvation apart from Jesus, the shepherd and the door. So he says he's come to bring us into the pasture of God. This is the grace of his invitation. Truly, truly, he says, verse 7, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Says it again in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He's the shepherd and the door. He's the shepherd door. What does that mean? It means that unlike any other door known to man, this door is not a stationary door. I'm guessing that front door, once it was installed in 1956, has not moved. It swings open. Do doors walk around? Do doors chase after you? Do doors pursue you? Do doors go to Samaria? Do doors go to the blind man? Do doors come into your hospital room? Do doors go to work with you? Do doors hold you in their arms? No. Jesus is unlike any other door known to man because he is not a stationary door. He is a shepherd door. This is the door that is the exclusive, singular, only way, but he does not stay far removed. He comes to you in grace as the shepherd door. So his revelation is clear and his invitation. This door is a shepherd. We heard it out of Ezekiel. If you were listening to this reading from Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. He's your shepherd door. And there's no one else like him. No one else would do this. No one else is like this. No one else is able, capable to do this for you and for me and for the whole world, to be our shepherd door. And what's even more amazing is that we do not need to be on a lifelong quest to find this shepherd door. He has made himself known to us, made himself clear to us, revealed himself to us, shown us his face, told us his name, given himself to us on the cross. The door is not hard to find. The door's name is Jesus. You've probably had times in your life, stories you could tell of times you couldn't find the door into somewhere. You didn't know how to get in. It's a frustrating experience. I had that experience the first day of my first job in high school, junior in high school. I got hired to be a sales associate at the Family Christian Bookstore at the Fair Oaks Mall. $6 an hour. That was hot stuff. And the manager trained me on a Wednesday afternoon how to ring people up. And at the end of the day, he made a vague reference and pointed in a vague direction to a door somewhere where on Friday morning, I could go into that door and find access to the hallway that connects to the store, back of the store. So here I find myself on Black Friday, like 6 o'clock in the morning, pulling into the Fair Oaks Mall parking lot. There's hardly any cars there. And I see many doors. And I choose a door, and it's the back room of some employee break room, I guess. There's lockers, and it's clearly not the hallway. But there's a staircase down to a door down at the bottom of the stairs. Now, over the staircase, I'm not making this up, is a rope and a sign that says, "Do not enter." But since my last name is Brown, I assume that's for someone else. So I go down the stairs, and there's another door. Across the door, not making this up, a big red bar, "Do not enter." So naturally, I press on the big red bar, and I find myself at 6 o'clock in the morning standing in the women's section of JCPenney at the Fair Oaks Mall. About 15 alarms going off. And any other normal person would turn around and run. What does Jamie Brown do? I just walk further into the women's section of JCPenney. And the manager chases after me, screaming at me. And thankfully, he had mercy on me. And he showed me the exit and said, "Please never do this again." And he pointed me across the parking lot to the door. I didn't need to know that there were doors. I needed to know the door. You and I need to know. The world needs to know. What is the door? The door into life, the door into happiness, the door into security, the door into life with God, the door into freedom, the door into identity, the door into a long list of things that we need, all found in one place, all found in one place. The one door is named Jesus. This is the consistent, persistent revelation of the Bible, that there are not multiple doors. Vague references to vague doors, multiple ways that you can enter in. The persistent, consistent, crystal clear revelation of God's word is that for all people, in all times, there is one door, and his name is Jesus. There was one ark to save Noah from the flood. Jesus is the ark. There was one lamb to save Isaac from the sword. Jesus is the lamb. There was one stairway in Jacob's dream. Jesus is the stairway. There was one rod to lead God's people through the Red Sea. One rod. Jesus is the rod. There was one cloud to lead God's people through the day. Jesus is the cloud. There was one fire to lead God's people through the night. One fire. Jesus is the fire. There was one high priest to intercede for the people. Jesus is the great high priest. There was one stone to slay Goliath. Jesus is the stone. There was one fish appointed to swallow up Jonah. Jesus is the fish. There was one extra man in the fiery furnace. Jesus is the man. And there was one shepherd, one door given to the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the door. And on the cross, he stretched out his arms. To God be the glory, we often sing. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the what? Life gate, that all may go in. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 20, that Jesus opened up for us by his blood the new and living way. He opened for us through the curtain. Get this. That is through his flesh. He is the door. He is the shepherd door. And if anyone enters by him, he'll be saved. They go in and out and find pasture. It's not a vague reference. It's not a vague reference to a vague door, random direction, like the back of JCPenney.
crystal clear in the person of Jesus. This is his grace to us, his invitation to us, as the one exclusive, singular shepherd door. And so in his grace, he now has a warning for us. He warns us of the imitation now of Jesus, the subtle often. Imitations, cheap, persuasive, sneaky imitations of Jesus. The shepherd who is the shepherd door warns the sheep now, warns you and me to beware the trap doors. Verses 8 and 10 pair up to provide this warning for us. Jesus says in verse 8, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." That's an image of thieves and robbers who would come out early in the morning under cover of darkness to try to trick the sheep, scam the sheep. They get up early under cover of darkness to try to pretend they were the shepherd before the true shepherd came. And verse 10 tells us they do this only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, "I came that the sheep may have life and have it abundantly." See the contrast here in black and white. This is the contrast. Jesus came to give you life, life abundantly, now and forever. But there are thieves and robbers who, under cover of darkness, are pretending to be shepherds, pretending to love you, pretending to care about you, pretending to offer you good, pretending to be doorways into life. But their true intentions and their design is for your death and your loss. So we should heed this warning from Jesus on two different levels. First, on a worldly level, Jesus is warning us here this morning. He's addressing us. Jesus is addressing us this morning to beware thieves and robbers. So let's beware of this first on a worldly level. There are thieves and robbers all around you in this world, pretending to care about you, pretending to be a shepherd, pretending to be for your good, your improvement, your enlightenment, your happiness, your freedom, your strength. It's a scam. It's a trap. Jesus came to give you life abundantly, came to lay his life down for you. You cannot say that about, for example, your money, which, as an important aside, is why it would be an abomination to take Jesus' reference there in verse 10 to life abundantly as any kind of justification for what charlatan preachers call the prosperity gospel. That Jesus wants you to have wealth, material wealth, and that the more material wealth you have, a greater sign of your faith. And that prosperity in the Lord is multiple houses and multiple yachts and an $80,000 Rolex. Nonsense. Abundant life doesn't mean you have a lot of money. It means you have a lot of Jesus. Jesus came to give you life and life abundantly. You cannot say that about your money, about your job, as good as your job may be. Any person, any worldly philosophy, anything you could ever pour into a glass or put onto a plate. And you cannot say that about any politician in any political party in any political office ever. All of those things are like sand. If you build your house on them, you cannot build your house on those things. If you do, the winds will come, the rains will come, the floods will come, and swift will be the fall of you. We got to heed this warning of Jesus this morning, of the thieves and robbers on a worldly level, but also on a spiritual level. Because while on this earth there are millions of, I'll call them under thieves or under robbers, on a spiritual level there is one capital T thief and one capital R robber. 1 Peter 5:8 says that your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And notice that Peter says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, not that he is a roaring lion. He's a scammer. He's a liar. He's pretending to be a lion. But he's not a lion. He's a snake. If I could mix metaphors for a minute then. In the game of rock, paper, scissors, Jesus is the lion. Lion beats snake. So let's get practical for a moment here in this warning of Jesus. Where in your life is the snake pretending to be a lion, and he's prowling around you? He's sending thieves and robbers your way. Maybe a lot of them, maybe just a few. Pretending to be your shepherd, pretending to be your door, promising you richness, life, happiness, security, identity, peace, belonging, rest, relaxation. And you're tempted to fall for the scam. Of course you're tempted to fall for the scam because you're a sheep. But if you're in Christ, your hope and your security is that you belong to your shepherd. He protects you. He comes after you. He delivers you. He comes and finds you when you wander. He comes and gets you when you fall for a scam, and he brings you into himself. Your shepherd never lets you go. If you're in Christ, you belong to your shepherd forever, no matter what. No matter how many scams, how many bites of the snake sink their teeth into you. Jesus says in verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep ultimately did not listen to them. The sheep did not listen to them. How? It's because the sheep are so smart? No. The sheep did not listen to the thieves and robbers because the shepherd showed up with his rod. He drove the thieves and robbers away. He came and got his sheep. He said, hey, sheep. Oh, that's my shepherd. The shepherd gets the glory because the shepherd has all the strength, all the might, all the tenderness, all the grace, all the provision, all the protection. Praise God for our shepherd door. Last year, Catherine and I took our youngest daughter, Callie, to New York City for an overnight trip to see a show for her 10th birthday. And we like to do this with our kids when we get there, which is not very often, but we get in an Uber, we drive down to Battery Park. And we like to take the free, underline free, Staten Island Ferry across the Hudson. Have you done this? To see the Statue of Liberty out the side. And so last time we were there, the Uber driver said to us, when you get there, just be aware that there's going to be all sorts of scam artists that are pretending to be official New York City governmental employees. And they're going to try to sell you tickets to their ferries, to their boat rides across the Hudson. And they're going to be persuasive. And he was saying all this to us. He wouldn't stop talking about it. We're like, okay. He said, just ignore them. Keep walking. So we get out of the Uber, and within a moment, we're being accosted by these scam artists. And they really did look official. They had badges on, they had uniforms on, and they could tell that we were susceptible little tourist sheep, wide-eyed. No, come this way. You can't go that way. You've got to come this way. What are you doing? And we're like, we're going to the Staten Island. No, you can't go that way, they would say to us. And there were moments where Catherine and I both were like, okay, I mean, I guess it was the warning of the Uber driver that just kept us with our eyes fixed on the true door. The true door. You gotta listen to the advice of that Uber driver. Just ignore them. All these thieves and robbers serving the purposes and the design of the uppercase T thief and uppercase R robber. Just ignore them. Keep walking. Because if you belong to Jesus, you can rest in that. I'm His. If you have come to Jesus, your true shepherd, if you have come in through the true door, then you are truly, truly His. He's got you. No thief, no robber can ever lay a hand on you. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. You can rest in this morning. I will rescue them from all the places and all the addictions, all the failures, all the prisons, all the lies, all the mistakes, all the scams, all the trapdoors where they've been scattered, and I will bring them out. Praise God. God, we thank you that you are our shepherd and that you are our door, our shepherd door. Thank you for revealing yourself. Thank you for inviting us to yourself and for coming to us time and time and time again and again and again. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Please help us, your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.